I'm sure real proud of y'all the way you're getting in, worshiping the Lord. It'd make somebody think that being saved's wonderful. Amen. Amen. And it is, isn't it? It sure is. It sure is. I want to read from Psalm 51. If you'd like to read there with me, Psalm 51. And this psalm was written when that David repented of his sin that he did. Now, you know that David was a worshiper of God of his youth. He was a child that loved God, and no telling what all songs he got when he was out there keeping his father's sheep. But we know that he was dedicated in his youth. As a young man, God used him in an amazing way to slay Goliath and just protected him, preserved his life. But then after he got, I don't know, settled as the king, wasn't quite as in danger. When the time came for kings to go forth to war, he stayed at home. And during that time, he failed miserably. I'll just tell you, he failed so miserably. It's just hard to even imagine that a man as great as he was could go to that depth. And then, even afterwards, how that God restored him. What a great testimony of God's grace that is, that the things he did afterwards. But this psalm was written to display his repentance. And I'll just read some of it. And I'll start in verse 7. It said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And verse 12 is really where I want to preach from. "The Lord would help me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." I really believe that God's wanting to restore someone's joy here today. Amen. That's what I want to preach on, restored joy. Restored joy. Now, there is joy in salvation. I mean to tell you, when people get delivered from some type of bondage or problems, there's a rejoicing. Y'all remember back several years ago, there was some Brazilians that was trapped down in a mine, and they finally drilled down and found that they were all alive. There was some rejoicing in those families that was waiting to hear about these loved ones that they had. And I'm sure that when they finally got that all opened up and those men that had been hungry and thirsty came out of that dark, dark place, oh, I'll tell you, I'm sure that they was as happy as they could be. But you know, even though they was restored to freedom and liberty and came up out of that dark place and there was a type of joy there, I don't believe, even though I know that was unbelievable happiness. I know it was. But the joy that comes from true salvation and true deliverance from the darkness of sin, that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. And it's not just a little time of joy. I really don't know what's happened to those miners since that they got out of that place. I've wondered at times, are they happy now? I know they might could look back upon that and say, boy, that was a great deliverance. That was a wonderful time. But did the thought of that continue with them? Did you know, I realize that salvation is something that doesn't, it's not just a one-time event. There's a continuation of this joy as you have a growing fellowship with God. Amen. There's some things that's a great celebration. I mean, you know, a sports team wins some big event and then they celebrate, they have parades, You know, they do all kinds of crazy things and they're excited and joyful, but the next season can wipe away all of that joy right there. Amen. They can go from first to worst really quick. I just want to tell you, this joy is a completely different joy than that type of occasions, you know. Amen. It is a joy that stays with you. And I'm not saying people don't have trials and so on, but we are having a great epidemic of depression throughout our country as well as throughout the world. It really is. I'll tell you how I know that there's a great amount of depression. It's because that psychiatrists and psychologists are really able to find a whole lot of work. And you know what those people are primarily? I'm not saying there aren't some that try to take the Bible and throw that in there, but primarily they're people trying to find answers for men's problems without God. That's exactly what they primarily are. They're trying to find answers for man's problems without God. And so, listen, I realize there's some people that are sick physically. They can have diabetes and that messes with their emotions. They get their diabetes all leveled out, their emotions stabilized. I understand there are sicknesses that affect your emotions. And then there's people that are sick and maybe they're taking a treatment for their sickness and the pill they're taking or the medicine they're taking affects their emotions. There are physical problems sometimes that causes depression. There are heartaches and situations such as death and other tragic problems that hurt us and can bring us very low. But there is many a times an undiagnosed cause of depression. There really is. It's why David was depressed. You know what it is? Sin. I mean, they do studies and they find out that homosexuals have a higher level of depression and suicide than other people. But instead of blaming that lifestyle, you know what they do? They blame everybody that condemns that lifestyle. Say, well, if we could just get them to shut up and these people to feel good about themselves, they wouldn't be so depressed. No, if they quit sinning and got forgiven, then they'd feel better. Amen. That's what would make them feel a whole lot better. And we're in a terrible situation in our country. Now listen, I'm not the least bit prejudiced against any person. I am not, but there is a problem in the black community. There really is. They have a lot of anger and rage. There is things going on in their hearts where that they will boil over. I'm not saying everybody, but there's a high percentage of them that have problems. And so this is the problem. You got a group that breaks laws. And you have people in our society called police officers that enforce laws. And so sometimes people act violently and they get shot because they resisted arrest. Now listen, police officers are sinners and they can do wrong things too. I've known of police officers arrested preachers before that should not have been arrested, okay? But I lift up law enforcement. I don't have a rebellious anything in my heart or a bad attitude towards them. But we've got people in our country, a very big percentage of the black community, not all of them, that blame their problems not on crime, not on violence, not on drugs, but on the police officers. And so we've got protests and we've got people that's doing crazy things in our streets and they're violent because of who they blame. They don't blame the criminal. They don't blame the violence. They don't blame the drugs. They don't blame the theft. They blame the law enforcement. That's exactly where we are psychologically in America. We got people that's depressed, and they're depressed because they're sinners. You know who they blame? They blame people that say, if you'd quit that stuff. They blame them for being the ones that's the problem of their depression. I'll tell you what their problem is. They're not right with God. That's their problem. We've got folks that's suicidal, and the reason they have that spirit of self-destruction about them is because sin is self-destructive by its nature. It doesn't just kill your body, it destroys your soul, and it sends you to an eternal destruction in a hell that you don't ever get over. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, the reason that people are depressed is because they've got sin, many of them. I'm telling you, there are other reasons. Y'all understand me now. I'm not saying every depression's because of it. But I would say the vast majority of Americans that are depressed, if they'd repent and get right with God, their depression would leave. Amen. You say, well, I believe that they could take a pill and get over it. I'm sorry. Studies have shown that there's not hardly any difference between those pills they give and a sugar pill that they give. And so we've got tests that show there is no success rate between these antidepressive pills and a sugar pill. Why don't you just get you a spoonful of sugar? And believe that's going to help you. See, that's the what it is. They pop a pill and they do these studies and they give so many a sugar pill and so many the real thing. And the faith that they have in that pill helps them. That's what it is. Because it's pretty much the same percentage of people that get help that take the sugar pill as the ones that take all these other things. And by the way, sugar pills, amen, if you take too much of it, might make you gain weight. But it does not. Sugar pills do not make you grouchy, anxious, or have suicidal thoughts. But do you know these other pills, you can read right there on the list of side effects, and it will tell you that it may cause aggravation, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. And you give these pills to people that are depressed. I'm just going to tell you, folks, I ain't too smart, but I'm smarter than that right there, folks. Amen. Amen. I just want to tell you the real reason, the root cause. And I'm not saying every cause. Some of it's satanic attack on good people that's living right. I realize that, but that's not what I've got other messages to deal with that type of depression. What I'm trying to deal with here this morning is somebody that does not have joy because you're not right with God. You say, Brother Lloyd, I got a lot of problems. You know your big problem? You're not right with God. Hey, boy, if I could get this fixed, that fixed, if I could just, nope. If you could get your relationship with God fixed first, and all this other stuff would fall in place. That's where it's all got to start. You can get $1 million today and pay all your bills, and you could get whatever new things that you want. You could get a new husband, a new wife, a new whatever. And that will not make you happy because sin will not ever give lasting pleasure or lasting joy. You hear me? The real problem that David had right there, the misery, you can read through Psalm 51. You talk about a miserable man. He was king of Israel, probably the richest man in Israel, the most powerful man in Israel. He had anything he wanted, and he was miserable. And you know why he was miserable? It wasn't because he didn't have enough money. It wasn't because he didn't have a nice enough house. It wasn't because he didn't have a nice enough wife. It was because he had sin in his life. Oh, yes. Amen. And I want to tell you right now, he came to himself and he realized, my problem is sin. There's a lot of folks blame their problems on everybody else. If they would just do right, if this one would just do that right. And I'll just tell you what, if you just get your heart right with God, it'd help you so much you wouldn't believe. Hey man, I've seen some people get saved. They were so overwhelmingly joyful. I remember at Granite City camp meeting one year, there's a great big old man came down to the altar. I mean, he was really big. Amen. He prayed through. He jumped up and I didn't know it, but later on he told me, he said he was so bitter by the way that he was raised and people that had done him wrong when he was young. He went into the army to learn how to kill because he was wanting to kill these people one day. Amen. But when he prayed through and that load of sin got off of him, that big man jumped up and started jumping around and he was so happy you wouldn't have believed it. Amen. Brother David Brim was there standing by, and Brother David, amen, Brim is maybe about the size of Brother Sean Matthews, maybe a little heavier, I'm not sure, but he grabbed a hold of him and hugged him and picked him up, threw him up in the air like a little doll. Amen. Amen, sure did. And I thought that was something. Then he reached over and Tim Brim was there and he got a hold of him and picked him up and threw. I'm telling you the truth, he's a great big man. He got saved and he was happy. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I want to tell you right now, being saved is the best thing that could ever happen to anybody. And if you're here today and you're a backslider, you know deep down in your soul, amen, that there's joy in salvation. And that's what David remembered when he danced before the Lord with all his might. He remembered what it was like going into the house of God, amen, and rejoicing because his sins was forgiven. He remembered what it was like to feel the anointing upon him when he defeated a giant and he was able to dance again in joy. Amen. Because God had brought his enemies down. He remembered all of that. And it was stolen. It wasn't stolen by the Philistines. It wasn't taken away. Amen. By somebody else in his nation. No. It was done because he gave in to the iniquity. Amen. It was stolen by his own sinful actions. He cries out to God, I remember what it was like, Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Amen. Oh, all of these riches, all of this stuff I have, even my kingdom is not a joy to me, but being in the very presence of God, now that's joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen, folks, the only way that you have your sins forgiven is by a great and powerful price. Jesus wept and cried in Gethsemane and wrestled on that place, and amen, his capillaries bursted and his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was in such agony. And you know what it was? That holy, sinful, sinless, spotless Son of God took every sinful, evil, wicked thing I did and you did. Amen. And he drank the filthy cup of iniquity. Amen. And he went to an old rugged cross and cried and wept and bled and was bruised and broken and bloodied. Amen. And he took our sorrows. He took our sorrows so we could have the joy of salvation. Amen. And with his blood, he washes away the guilt of sin. He washes away, amen, the great things that we have done in the past, and he washes us whiter than snow. Hallelujah, the guilt is gone. Hallelujah, and there's a cleanness inside. Praise the name of Jesus. That helps. I believe David got out of his depression because he got saved. He was forgiven. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Now, I also want you to notice, he said, And it says here, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. In other words, I want liberty. I want liberty. I don't want to ever go back to that again. I'm so happy to see these boys running and worshiping God this morning. Praise God. That is a free spirit, wasn't it? You talk about liberty. Amen. People that's living in the bondage of evil and wickedness, I'll tell you, there's no doubt people think about suicide at times because they get so depressed. But God can not only forgive you and wash you from your sins. He can give you liberty to where you don't ever go back to that sin. Amen. Laramie, I want you to come up here. I just got so excited. Amen. When I saw Jennifer worshiping the Lord and you coming up here as well, because right now we're almost at that 1 year birthday. Glory to God. It's probably I may be wrong, but it may be right around the 24th, maybe. Amen, but I'm not sure. It may be on that last Sunday, but we're getting close to that 1 year birthday. You know what it was? Amen, he washed, he restored, he took away whatever Laramie was bound by, and now he's here on this Sunday. Amen, probably two more Sundays right now, and we're going to rejoice. Amen, you know what? The Lord didn't just free him from the guilt of sin. He gave him a free spirit, a liberated spirit. Amen. So he don't have to go back to that old stuff again. And I want to tell you here this morning, if you're saying there's no hope for me, I am declaring that the devil is a liar and there is hope, just as much hope as there was for Laramie, just as much hope as there was for Steve Davis. Amen. That said he'd been saved for 4 years. I want you to understand, he not only forgives you of your sins and restores the joy of salvation, he'll give you a free spirit. That means a liberated spirit. His spirit will make sure you stay in that liberty and freedom. You understand? Glory, glory, glory. I want to tell you, Skylar, amen, you can live for God until today, from the day until the day you die, or Jesus Christ comes and takes the church out of this world. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to take away our sins, and the free spirit that he gives is powerful enough to keep us liberated from our sins. Amen. Could we all stand? Let's give God a praise. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I believe God wants to restore some backsliders' joy in salvation. I believe God's wanting to establish somebody's life enjoying the blessings of the Lord here this morning. Church, would you pray with me just a little bit? I felt this message, amen, a few days ago as I was reading my Bible and praying. I thought I needed to preach this on Sunday morning. How am I supposed to know who shows up? Amen. But God's given you a message this morning, and I want you to know that you can throw away those petty pleasures and joys that sin gives you and have something that's so real and lasting. Amen. Oh, if you're a sinner here this morning, the Lord's able to deliver you from your sins. Amen. You may not be happy to be a rich man or woman. That may not ever come to you, but you can sure be happy your sins are forgiven and washed away, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you. Amen. Church, would you pray with me just a little bit? If you're here today lost, if you're here today backslidden, it. I want you to know that God wants to give you back your joy if you're a backslider. Amen. If you've never experienced that joy of knowing your sins are forgiven, I want you to know that God has a desire to give you joy unspeakable, forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ. We'd like for you to come to this altar and seek the Lord for salvation and seek the Lord for deliverance. Anybody at all, would you step out? Amen. Say, I want Christ to be my Savior. I want the Lord to forgive me of my sins. Anybody at all? Anyone at all? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, He still cleanses.
He still delivers.
He still delivers. Hallelujah.
He has never lost.
Glory to God.
His power to save all the blood has it.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Changed.
I want to say to us Christians, sometimes we can get to a place of depression by being distracted about the great things of God. Amen. Of course, we're experiencing the joy of the Lord here this morning, and I was glad to see it. But I'll tell you, sometimes we can get distracted. Our faith can get low. It's not necessarily that we sinned. It's just that we've got our eyes off the Savior. Amen. I think that if we get happy about Jesus, whoo, you talk about a service tonight and you talk about a camp meeting. I'd like for us all to come around this altar. Sinner, friend, backslider, you're sure welcome to join the church right down here at the altar. Amen. Because I feel like God sent me to tell you that He can restore your joy. Amen. He can forgive you of your sins. He can deliver you from whatever's binding you up and keeping you down. The Lord is a liberator. Hallelujah. Let's all come and rejoice in the Lord. Glory be to God.